T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Shotgun snap to Allen. Has a pocket. Fires one down the middle to the end zone. It is caught for the touchdown. Caught for the touchdown, Isaiah McKenzie. From the Detroit 3. Drops the snap. Picks it up. Takes a look. He's going to run with it. He is into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen ran it in from 3 yards out. He dropped the snap and he ran it in anyway. Touchdown, Bills. They take the lead.
No panic. Understand that we have a chance. We had all 3 timeouts. We had 23 seconds left. We trust the guys that we put on the field. You know, we work extremely hard at what we do. You know, I really appreciate McDermott and Doris for giving us the opportunity to go dip our toe there. Some guys may have taken a knee there, but we were going to be aggressive. And again, it paid off. So I appreciate our staff for letting us do that.
Josh takes a shotgun snap. Steps up in the pocket. Guns one straight down the middle. Looking for Diggs. Makes the catch. He makes the catch at the 40-yard line, and he is brought down there. 40-yard line of the Lions. What a big pickup that was.
I just knew we were going to have another chance, you know, given our offense. I just knew another chance was going to pop up, and I got to be ready for it. And I just quickly reset and just got to my next process.
It'll be 45 yards from the right hash. Here we go. Ferguson, the snapper. Martin, the holder. The snap is good. The kick is long enough. It is up. It is good. Still 2 seconds left on the clock. A 45-yard field goal for Tyler Bass to put the Bills on top, 28-25, with 2 seconds remaining. Tyler Bass owns this building.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sounded like a great game. There was way more anxiety to that game than what just the highlights make it sound like. And I'm sure all Bills fans experienced that to some extent on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Joe DiBiase here on The Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio is off today. He did the show on Tuesday, so making up for his day off here today. And the Bills get a win over the Lions, which means it's going to be a little bit more timid, a little more tame around here, I think. It would have been the building on fire, picket signs, just everyone would have been pretty upset, I think, had they found a way to lose to the Detroit Lions. And it felt like they were trending towards that again. The Bills lose in the dumbest of ways, whether it's fumbling a snap on a QB sneak against the Vikings, or it's 50-mile-per-hour winds against New England, or the sun just decides, hey, I'm gonna light the field on fire 150 degrees against Miami. A Hail Mary against the Cardinals. Here was the Lions game, and Tyler Bass misses an extra point. And didn't everybody at the same time go, uh-oh, here we go. It's only a 3-point game now. We're going to have to deal with overtime. Just, this is not good. They're going to find a way to lose this football game, even though more times than not, they find a way to win the football game. And that's exactly what happened with that pass Josh Allen threw to Stephon Diggs. It relaxes everybody just a little bit, and I think allows everybody to evaluate what the Bills' problems are at this moment in time without coming at it from an emotional standpoint. Had they lost, I think it would have been a lot more emotions at play. And now we can just hardcore, just evaluate what they are. Why is the red zone offense the way it is? Why are they throwing picks in the red zone every single game? Why can they not get anybody consistently involved that is not named Stephon Diggs? Although Isaiah McKenzie did do that yesterday. And now all these injuries are piling up. There's a lot to get to. And I want to discuss Jeremy's poll from earlier that we talked a lot about with Howard and Jeremy on the morning show today. Thinking about the Bills and their concerns and, you know, what they could improve upon. And Jeremy put up a poll a little bit earlier that which do you think is the trouble with the Bills offense right now? The offensive coordinator, Allen's elbow, roster construction, or nothing at all? And the largest segment of fans answered the offensive coordinator. So we'll talk about Dorsey today. I do want to talk about Allen's injury. I do think that it is affecting his play. That might not even be saying much at this point. It might be assumed by everybody that it's affecting his play. And also the roster construction, because I think it's a little bit of all three of those, and I'll let you know which one I think it's the most of, but nitpicking the offense. Let's nitpick the offense a little bit today, but also bask in the fact that they did win the football game. They kept pace with Miami, who is more likely than not going to win on Sunday when they play a Kyle Allen-led Houston Texans team that has one win and is the bottom of the NFL right now. They are probably going to still be one game behind the Chiefs, because the Chiefs this week play Bryce Perkins and the LA Rams, who might be the second worst team in football right now, next to the Houston Texans. So, this is probably the way it's going to be for the time being. Bills 8-3, good. You kept pace, and you didn't drop one when the two teams that you're tracking down in the standings are probably not going to drop one this week. 803-0550 is the phone number. No guests. It's just me and you throughout the morning here, 10 to 12 here in the Extra Point Show, 803-0550. I want to take a lot of calls. I want to gauge where fans are at, somewhere in between hopeful and happy they won the game versus concerned that they still look like, the offense still looks like it's a struggle at times. Let's go right to the phone lines also. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Ron in Tonawanda, who wants to jump on about the tight end position. What's up, Ron?
Hi, Joe. I'm right to your subject you're talking about. I'm wondering what's going on with Knox. He seems to disappear. I mean, last year he helped a lot. Red zone, caught quite a few touchdown passes in the red zone. All of a sudden, he just disappears. And, I mean, he signed a big contract, and I don't see it, you know. And I'd just like to hear your answer on that. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Ron. Knox signs the big contract, and the moment he did that, expectations were raised. He was the sixth highest paid tight end in football. Sixth. I don't know if that's still the case. Waller did sign after him, but he's still up there. And yesterday, yeah, he had nothing going into the fourth quarter. He ends with two catches for 27 yards. Now, Knox did have a very good day against the Browns on this past Sunday. So, you know, he's been what he's been for his career. Knox has been a good tight end that is not very involved in the offense compared to his peers at the same position in the league. And he's a guy that scores touchdowns. Well, this year, what do I got? Around the same target share, around the same receptions amount, it hasn't gone up. He's still he's a bit role player in the offense. And now the touchdowns have gone away, which I think a lot of people knew that there would be regression in that department, but not this much regression. Two touchdowns in 10 games. That's a lot of regression. So, to your point, Ron, they need more from Knox on a consistent basis? Yes, they do. We talk a lot about receiver. I don't know if there's a tight end out there that they could even add. Quentin Morris plays. Quentin Morris plays a lot, and he doesn't get the ball a lot, but he's on the field, and he lines up a receiver a lot. So, yeah, the production from the tight end position in general, it hasn't really been there. But to be fair, it really never has. If you look at the target share in the offense year by year for the Bills, pull this up. I had this last week. The Bills have thrown to tight ends as little as anybody in the NFL in the last 3 years. They're always near the bottom when it comes to the tight end position and what percentage of their targets goes to it. And that could be an argument as to why you never pay Knox in the first place, but they wanted him on the team, and he's in step with Allen off the field, and he's a good player. But yeah, I would like to see more from him for sure. Is there a tight end out there? I don't really think there is. Is Rob Gronkowski, have we given up on that? We've officially decided he is retired and that is real. Gronk is gone. Would it be flabbergasting if he returned? I'm not saying he would return to the Bills even if he did, but 803-0550 is the phone number. Thanks for the call, Ron. That was getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. Linda in Rochester. What's up, Linda?
Hey, Joe, thanks for taking my call. I have two things. So I was sitting next to my husband, and I'm watching the game, and I said to him, you know, Josh has got to just air it out. He's got to air it out because he's got to keep the defenses honest. And lo and behold, then he throws the bomb to Stephon Diggs, the 36-yarder. And I think every now and then he just – because if he doesn't, the defenses are always going to play up, right, because they're going to say, oh, Josh can't throw the long ball. His elbow is hurting him. Well, I think he just has to occasionally throw – I mean, with a sensible long ball just to keep defenses honest. And I want to, like, talk about Nate. Nate, after the show – the post-game show, was just losing his mind about, oh my gosh, and woe is us, and this. And, you know, I got to say, we won two games in the middle of a snowstorm, back and forth. I don't even know if these guys have their driveways shoveled out yet. Wives at home with a bunch of kids over Thanksgiving. I mean, this is a lot. And so I'm really not panicking. Could they have looked better yesterday? Yeah. But I think considering all the circumstances, I am really not worried. I'm going to wait to see what they look like after the Patriots game, which by all rights we should win. And then I'll think about it. But I look at this game like how it was for the Tampa Bay game last year. You know, they lost, of course, that one. But somehow it was like this defining moment, like, okay, we got to pick ourselves up and get going. And I think perhaps yesterday's game was like that. So I just want to share my thoughts, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Linda. I don't think it's right to be in panic mode by any means about this team, because you're right. How many excuses could they have made for losing that game? And they didn't. But how many reasons could you have put towards that's why they lost? You could start with the fact they were missing Von Miller for 3/4 of the game. That's huge. The number one pass rusher. Your whole defense shifted. You became a blitz-heavy team the moment he goes out. You were missing Tremaine Edmonds, your star middle linebacker, who they clearly have been missing since he's been out. Tre'Davious White only played two drives. Didn't have your number one corner. Still don't. Deion Dawkins left the game. Mitch Morse didn't play. You have two reliably good offensive linemen on this team, and both were out by the second quarter. Morse didn't play, and Dawkins got hurt. So now you're with Questenberry, and Bates is at center, and Saffold, who hasn't been great this year. It was a mishmash of linemen. Allen, a lot of times, would snap the ball and immediately have to scramble out of the pocket. And that's fine, because he's that athletic and able to do that. But man, that line is lucky that Allen is able to do that. Also, it affected the run game. Morse and Dawkins not being in there, I mean, the Bills didn't run the ball a whole lot the way they did against Cleveland, despite the fact Detroit is a bottom five rush defense in football. Why? Not because Detroit was doing well at it. It was because they just didn't have the linemen to do it. What other excuses? Well, a lot of what Linda just said. We don't know that their driveways are shoveled. We don't. They've been dealing with a lot. They played two games in 5 days. They have had a limited amount of practices. How many practices, real full practices, have they even had in the last 10 days? Two? Three? It hasn't been a lot. So, yes. And, by the way, that Lions team had won three in a row. And there was reason to believe they were better than their record for the amount of close games they have played against really strong teams. They lost by three to the Eagles. They played close against the Vikings. They played close against the Dolphins. And they still pulled it out. They still won the football game. They found a way to do it. So, with all that being said, and by the way, I have not even said, building up to it, the number one excuse that you could have filed for the Bills losing that football game, Allen's elbow. Allen's elbow, for me, might be number one on that list. If your quarterback is not right, it's very hard to win. Look at the Chargers. The Chargers, they kept Justin Herbert in there. He kept playing. And there were a lot of excuses why the Chargers weren't winning games. Their top reason might have been they were missing their both number one and number two wide receivers for most of the year in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. But did you watch Justin Herbert from weeks 2 through 8? after he had cracked ribs against the Chiefs in the second game of the year? Did not look the same. He kept battling it out. He kept playing. And when a quarterback does that, he's opening himself up to being judged when he is at a broke, when he's at a broken form of himself. And that's what happened to Herbert. Herbert, I think the narrative on him this season is, well, he's kind of having a down year. He's regressing a little bit. When in reality, guy's just broken. The guy couldn't breathe. He wouldn't even run when he had an easy first down because he just could not take a hit. He'd have to leave the game after. That's how much the injury was affecting him. Herbert, it was clear. Allen, it's tougher to see. It's tougher to figure out. How much is the UCL injury in his elbow affecting him? And you have to kind of pick up on little clues along the way to try to figure it out. And some of the clues that have been dropped started last week. Last week against the Browns, during the telecast, the play-by-play and color man, who the names are escaping me at this point in time, so I apologize for that, but they said that in their production meeting with Josh Allen, that those TV guys do every game before a game, they talk with the quarterback, they talk with the coach, and they said Allen told them that it's harder with this injury for him to throw sidearm because the muscles feel tight with his injury. And if you look at that and think about what does that mean, you can connect it to his throwing motion. And if you watch very closely his throwing motion in the last three games, it doesn't quite look the same as we're accustomed to. It, to me, looks more similar to what he entered the league with. When Allen first entered the league, he had this tomahawk-looking throwing motion. Very vertical. Very vertical throwing motion. And it is part of the reason why he was so inaccurate in college and in his first year. Sailing throws over receivers' heads, putting them in the dirt. It's just not an effective way to throw the football. So, what did he do? He's talked about it repeatedly. Had his throwing motion digitally mapped. He talked with Jordan Palmer, or worked with Jordan Palmer, his QB coach in the offseason. He would work on things with Dable and Ken Dorsey. And they went to the workshop, and they cleaned up his lower body mechanics, and he started throwing with a little bit of a different angle. A little bit more of a whip to it. And a little bit more of a sidearm throw, at least closer to it than what he came into the league with. And I don't know. In the last couple of games, it looks to me like he's throwing more in that like tomahawk type style. And maybe that's because it hurts. Or it just feels weird. It feels tight for him to throw the football with a more horizontal angle than he came into the league with. So that could be a reason why, hey, there have been a couple of short throws he's sailed. There's been a couple of balls that he's missed, and that has happened. But also, he's so gifted and so talented that we saw the throw to Diggs, even with an elbow injury bothering him, the throw to Diggs, him and Mahomes, that gets said a lot, right? Like, there are some throws that Mahomes will make where it gets said only Mahomes and Allen can make it. And there are some throws that Allen can make that he'll throw that will say only Mahomes and Allen can throw that football. That's one of those plays. That ball to Diggs. That ball has got to get to that spot, and it's got to get there fast. It's not even about accuracy, although it's as accurate as it can possibly be. It sticks right to Diggs. Tua can't make that throw. Derek Carr can't make that throw. Kirk Cousins can't make that throw. Your arm has to be strong enough to get that ball at that exact point in time because the safety is right on Diggs and he is about to make contact. Even when bothered by an elbow injury, he's so gifted he can make a throw like that. But I also think you can say the elbow injury is part of the reason why their offense has looked like a struggle and why they punted the ball three times in a row yesterday for the first time all season. I don't think it's stopping the Bills from achieving their goals, their regular season goals, the division and tracking down the one seed, But I do think it's going to make things a lot harder. If Allen is missing, even if it's just one more pass every 15 than he typically does. That might not sound like a lot. He misses one more pass for every 15 throws than he normally does. But that adds up at the end of the game. Because if, you know, this game he throws 42 times. That's three passes, three plays that could have gone their way. And I don't have three specific plays in mind. I'm just kind of making those numbers up as I go. But I do think he looks a little bit more inaccurate than normal. He's throwing the ball a little bit differently than normal. And I think that adds up to, yeah, the elbow injury is affecting him. And the Bills didn't let that be an excuse. And they won the game anyway. And that's why they're the Super Bowl favorite. All of those excuses that we just ran through, that long list, still won the football game. On the road against a team that had won three in a row. So you can only be so concerned today, I think. Because there are things to point out and to evaluate and that they need to get better at. But at the same time, look at the circumstances in which they just won. Let's go to Larry and Tonawanda. What's up, Larry? You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. How about you?
Good. So just I want to digress here. Those Goathead jerseys, those things look great.
Oh, I loved them.
Yeah, they were awesome. I was happy my kiddos got to see them. You know, people just need to relax. If this is Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, we're going to be hearing, oh, Mahomes is the greatest thing since sliced bread and bottled beer. Finds another way to win a close game. Meanwhile, it's the Bills. Oh, this team sucks, and this guy's hurt, and this guy's not good enough. Well, people, the fans are driving me nuts. Just cram it. They're 8-3, and you know, right now they're a half game above Miami. Miami's got a 3-game road trip coming up here after this week. Probably going to go 1-2. And then the next point I wanted to make is we pay a lot of money for Diggs, and next year Allen. We got a lot of money tied up. Our bench players are not the greatest, and I'm not sure why we're not drafting a wide receiver. Our receivers can't get open right now. And then our linemen. You got two linemen out, as you said, but we should be drafting some corn-fed, ginormous boys out of the Midwest or Big Ten Conference that we can really slam the ball down other teams' throats. You get a lead and stay ahead and get ahead. That's really the end of the game here. So I'll hang up and listen. Larry said, "Waha for Judge."
Thanks for the call, Larry. The receiving and offensive line point, I completely agree with. I mean, they should have been investing in that a little bit more than they have all along. But they've been very focused on building the defense and making the defense as good as possible. But now, yeah, you got line problems. Part of that's injury, but not all of it's injury. Your guard play has been inconsistent for 5 years. Your receiving core is a one-man show. You're getting a different guy every week that seems to step up. So you're getting by. Yesterday it was McKenzie. 10 targets, 96 yards, a touchdown. McKenzie was great yesterday. But he had disappeared for a month before that. One target against the Browns for McKenzie. Gabe Davis has been inconsistent, both with his hands and getting open, and that's really where it's fallen short in that positional group. And I think the Bills were right to expect that Davis would take a step forward, and he really hasn't. But I think they were right to expect it because he was showing out. I mean, he was earning more playing time, and then he would get in, and he was earning it even more. Not just the Chief game. Leading into that Chief game, every time he was on the field, he was efficient, and he was getting open down the field, on comeback routes, he was making tough catches. He was showing that he had all the tools to be a starting receiver in football. The ability to get open, the ability to go open down the field, and to make tough catches. And right now, one, he's not getting open on a regular basis, and two, he's not making tough catches. So he's playing okay, but the breakout was what I think we were expecting. That has not happened. And until that happens, there's going to be a desire to see a legit number two receiver in this offense. Like the Dolphins have. The Dolphins have two guys. The Chiefs, up until this year, had two guys. They had Kelce and Hill. No first-round pick attempt at that for the Bills. No second-round pick attempt for that for the Bills. No free agent contract. I'm okay with that. I'd rather they do it in the draft. But now, We'll talk about Beckham a little bit later. Maybe Beckham is going to be the answer to that. Take a phone call. Let's go to Alex in Pittsburgh. Alex, you're on the Extra Point Show. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I have a comment and a quick question. First off, I want to say Ed Oliver, what a beast he is. I've seen him all game long pushing the offensive lineman back and making awesome big plays. And hopefully when his contract's up, maybe Bean can make a little wiggle room to re-sign him. And whenever Edmonds isn't on the field, it's noticeable. I know a lot of fans are love-hate relationship with Edmonds, but I love him ever since we drafted him. And my one question is, because I live in Pittsburgh, I don't get the local coverage. What can I think of his
for Pittsburgh?
Miller, Von Miller. Von Miller's injury. I heard he walked off the field and everything, but does that look serious? And in the Crowder, I know he's on IR. But I don't know if he's a year long.
So real quick, Alex, Crowder maybe by the playoffs would be back, but it's not sounding like he'll be back anytime soon. And Von Miller, we don't know. We have to wait. The most we have right now, Ian Rappaport says, looks like knee sprain, but it's too early to tell for sure on all of that. MRI today. I bet we find out later today the severity. But when he left the field and we saw the replay and all we know about the Detroit turf, Odell Beckham was tweeting about the turf. He was furious on Twitter, Beckham was, when he saw his friend Von Miller go down with probably what he thought at the time was the same injury. And we'll see. But didn't everybody think, that's it, we're not seeing him again the rest of the year? And what a blow. But, you know, maybe there's some optimism that, if you trust Rappaport, and I guess you trust who Rappaport's talking to, there's reason to believe that, hey, maybe we do see him again this year. One more quick phone call before we hit a timeout. Michael in Georgia, you're on the Extra Point Show. What's up, Michael?
Okay. Hey, thanks for taking the call. Try to make it quick here. So with all the adversity everybody mentioned, okay, 3 days in between the two games, Mike, you asked the question about offensive coordinator and this and that, put it out there. So, yeah, injuries, all this adversity, losing the two games, and then after that not having, time to practice after the we gave away the Vikings game. So with the offensive coordinator, yeah, I think there's room for improvement and adjusting. It's kind of hard when you don't have practices. But also, with all that being said, with all the adversity, with the losses on the offensive line and whatnot, I think he maybe crafted a game plan, and even at the end, so they could win that game. And like you said, two games they could have lost. Sale had his arrow downs, a lot of arrow downs. I agree with them all. But in spite of that, we're Sale's always saying, look at all these things that happened for, Buffalo to lose the game. Or look at all these things that happened that could have caused Buffalo to lose the game. But I give him some credit. I still think they have to make some adjustments, okay?
Yeah.
But my comment. Hey. I think he did a good job. I think he can improve.
Michael, thanks for the call. That was Getting Connected with Our Fans, brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. All that's right. Our poll that we put up, by the way, the Michael reference there. What do you think, this is from Jeremy on Twitter, what do you think is the trouble for the Bills offense right now? The offensive coordinator, we'll talk more about Dorsey coming up. Josh Allen's elbow. Roster construction of the offense. Or nothing at all. Let me know what you think. We got open phone lines, 803-0550. We're going to keep flying through phone calls today. No guests, just me and you. So pick up the phone, give me a call, and we'll get to you right when we come back here on the Extra Point Show. Joe DiBiase here on WGR.
From the Detroit 3, drops the snap, picks it up, takes a look. He's going to run with it. He is into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen ran it in from 3 yards out. He dropped the snap, and he ran it in anyway. Touchdown, Bills. They take the lead.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.